Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, spiritual talk, healing done right, spiritual growth, 12-step indigo meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Everybody, happy Sunday. It's time for Inside Matters. And this is Duchess, and we have another wonderful show for you this Sunday. This must be the first Sunday of November. It's also time change. I hope everyone out there has changed their times. I mean, you fall back and spring ahead. So we must have fallen back because this is fall. I'm having a great day today. I want to thank my Creator for all the blessings that I receive in my life. It's been a wonderful 2 weeks, and I am so happy to be on the air. We have a special guest today, and we will be calling her in shortly, but right now I want to see if my co-host is out there. You out there, co-host?
I am. This is Jules. If you don't know who I am, I'm Jules, and I'm the co-host of Duchess. And I had a wonderful week. I had to be the first one to call my brother for his birthday. His birthday was yesterday, and I had to say happy birthday to him. I also had a good week about loving that October is gone. I know a lot of October babies are out there, but October just dragged on. So November is here, and that means winter is coming, and we can be reunited with our families for Thanksgiving. So that's all I have to say for right now. But go ahead, Duchess. Go ahead.
Well, Jules, there was every month there is this this website where I get the monthly forecast, and the forecast for October was reset. October was a month that every time I turned around, I had to reboot myself, because I'm going to tell you, crazy things were happening right down to last Sunday. I was doing my laundry in the laundry room here. And when I went to a neighbor and I were in there together, and she put her clothes in after me, so my machine started before hers. And when I went in there to take my clothes out to put them in the dryer, her machine was on the spin cycle, and she had 5 more minutes to go. My machine had stopped, and I had 18 more minutes to go. I was very upset because the soap was still in the machine. I mean, it wasn't on the rinse cycle. And so, I mean, I took all of these clothes out of the washer, sopping wet. Called maintenance.
Wow.
And he told me to unplug the machine, because at first I couldn't get my clothes out of the machine. You know, they lock on you once you close them. Those front end loaders, they lock on you. I couldn't get my clothes out of the machine. I was devastated. He told me to unplug it. So I had to reboot. Everything was a reboot. A reboot for me this month. I have a new monitor for the show, and my tech person calls himself archiving all of my files from my computer to the Google Cloud, okay? So they're archived to the Google Cloud. Instead of copying and pasting to the Google Cloud, the tech person took all of my files off my computer and put them on the Google Cloud. So that means if for whatever reason I lose my internet service, I had none of my documents saved to my computer.
Wow.
I had to call and say, whoa, would you put my stuff back? It's just been like an amazing month. I'm still doing my swimming exercises.
Huh?
Yes.
Say that again.
I said I'm still doing going and doing my exercises for the swimming.
Well, how come you haven't called me on it?
Well,
I've seeing
been
is butterflies. I'm stuck with the butterflies. I feel a little loopy, see?
You still do it E squared. You still see it. Well, I want you to know, I'm still seeing Sunset Stage vehicles drive by me. I'm like, here goes another one.
Are you serious?
They're everywhere. I can't stop seeing them now, you know? So
wow.
We're going to have a really good show today. I'm looking forward to this show. I did try to contact the woman for the essential oils. She hasn't contacted me yet, so I'm just going to leave that alone. And so we won't be having an essential oil show because until I find somebody that will contact me back again, I just don't know when I'm going to do you an aromatherapy essential oil show, Jules, but that should be coming soon. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. I'm going up to New York to pick up my mother for Thanksgiving. And if you don't have anything else to say, I think we need to call in our special guest. What do you think?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I wonder who it is. I am so excited. I love when guests come on our show. It's a wonderful thing.
Okay, could our special guest please introduce yourself by name? Your mic is open, so come on in. You are live on Inside Matters, and we're loving to hear from you. Hello. Are you out there?
Hello, my name is Navee Madian. Well, I had a great weekend. It was my dad's birthday yesterday, and me and my grandma made homemade fudge, and it was fun because he got to open his present, and since he loved wolves, my grandma got him a wolf shirt, and also I got to get cowrie shells for my grandmother so I can talk to the ancestors. And
you want to tell people what the cowrie shells mean, sweetie?
Well, I can use them to talk to the ancestors. I was asking if you knew what cowrie shells mean.
Well, the cowrie shells, for those of you who don't know what cowrie shells are, they're the shells that they're the shells that some of the shaman use for them to do divining. And they sit down with the shells, and you have four shells. Mine, when I sit down with the ancestors, are coconut shells, broken pieces of coconut shells. And Nevaeh, the ancestors, said today that she could have her own shells for her to learn how to do the actual asking of the questions of the ancestors. And so they blessed her to have her own little shells for her to be able to. They're the African shells that you see on necklaces and bracelets, and she's blessed to have her own four little shells so she can do them now herself. So we're going to see about
Nevaeh?
That.
Yes. Your shells, are they coconut shells? Are they seashells? What kind of shells do you have?
They are cowrie shells.
Oh.
Cowrie. You know the little twisted shells that look like it has a little animal inside, little nail-like?
Oh. Okay, I understand now. Okay.
Right, that's what she has. So go ahead, Nevaeh. You have more you want to share with everybody?
Yes,
I have one more thing.
Oh, okay. Well, on Friday I got my report card, and once I opened my report card, I see and I made the honor roll. The honor roll means that all I've got is A's and B's.
Congratulations!
Thank
you.
Congratulations. I'm so excited. Thank you very much.
You are fantastic.
Yes, she
and
is.
If anybody doesn't know,
thank
Nevaeh
you.
Is my special, one of my special nieces, and I love her so much, and I'm so glad that you got the honor roll. So Tia's got something very special for you.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay. Thanks for being our special guest. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, is that all, Nevaeh? You want to say a shout out to your mommy and your brother and your sister and your daddy and anybody else you want to shout out to?
I would like to say to my family, I love you very much, and this is Nevaeh Maddie and talking on Blog Talk Radio, I think.
You
got it right,
sweetie. Yes, you did. On Blog Talk Radio. So what you going to do with the rest of your evening, Nevaeh, when you get off the phone?
Well, my grandma's going to take me back home.
Okay.
Well, I thought you had something special you were going to do when you get off the phone while you were waiting for the show to be over.
What was I going to do?
I thought you were going to watch that scary movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, Nevaeh, you can watch scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even watch scary movies, but okay. All righty.
I think her grandma said fairy with an F, fairy.
Okay, we got to be.
Fairy. A fairy movie. Okay. It was
nice
great
talking
to
you,
Nevaeh.
Thank
we
you.
We love you dearly. And
love
congratulations
you
again on your honor roll.
Honor
we are
roll.
So proud of you. Okay.
Thank you.
So I guess we better start this show. We're going to talk about empaths today, the sensitive human species. That's the empath. And here we go. Now, a lot of peeps really weird because I've been called, I know I'm an empath, but I've been called codependent because empaths are feelers. An empath is a person that is hypersensitive to the emotions and energy of other people. And some empaths are hypersensitive to animals as well, you know. They have the ability to, physically feel the emotions of a person or animal standing within their auric field. Now, Jules, you and I, we talked about auras before, and that's the electromagnetic field around the human body, and it just emits this energy. And remember when we did the dowsing exercise or experiment from E squared with the hangers.
Mm-hmm.
That was our electromagnetic field. That energy when you said you stood there and you held the hangers and you thought of something horrible and it constricted your electromagnetic field and it brought the hangers inward. Well,
right.
Empaths, they can sense things around them through their auric field. And empaths have this sense of knowing and a very strong intuition. Now, like I say, sometimes we're considered codependent. You have your ADHD individuals that are hyperactive, and that may be because of the vibrations in a room bouncing off of them. The energy is just so fierce around them. Empaths are the people who feel their way through life. Sometimes you'll stand there, and you may be talking to them, and they're so intense in what it is that you're saying, that it's almost as though they're capable of looking through you. They're born highly sensitive with the ability of empathy to help them understand their surroundings on a deeper level than the physical level. And this ability grants them the opportunity to help people heal, to help people feel better. A lot of times an empath can step in somebody else's shoes, feel what that person is feeling, and actually come up with ways for people to solve issues in their life. And this is done through them being that attached to the vibrations of other people, and they can gain a better understanding of that person's situation. You know, sometimes I'm talking to someone and I'm listening to them, and it's as though they don't have to tell me the whole story, but I can see the story behind the story behind the story. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as though I just see it. And some people say, well, how did you know that? I mean, I've asked Nevaeh that this evening a couple of times since she's been here. I would say, Nevaeh, how do you know that? So I can tell that, you know, she may be an empath that hasn't fully developed yet. Most empaths are born with a knowing that aids as a proper form of guidance. They intuitively seem to know there is more to a story than what meets the eye. This is why it is impossible to lie to an empath. They are also very in tune with their intuition, as it is very, very strong. This is why empaths are thought to be more spiritually evolved than most, because they are born with a connection to their higher consciousness. Empaths live a life through their soul without the need of development. And empaths have this energy that influences self-reflection into or onto other people. They feel very emotional, and they feel every emotion and energy that vibrates in their presence. So have you had any empathic experiences, Jules? Would you like to share any?
I feel what other people are feeling, but being an empath, I try to hide that, because it is a very powerful experience, and it is very hard to deal with, to know, especially if somebody is sad or emotionally going through something very tremendous to them. I can't deal with it. It's
right.
A hard thing to deal with. So if you don't have anyone to talk to or be around that knows what you're going through, you kind of smother it and you try not to deal with it. And that's how
right.
I am, and, you know, that's how I deal with my empathic spirituality.
Right.
I was listening to yours because you have been dealing with being an empath for a very long time.
Right, and I remember the first time I realized that I was an empath, I had a woman tell me, she said, oh, Yolanda, don't you understand why you feel such and such and such a thing? And I said, no. She said, wait, you're an empath. And I said, well, if I'm an empath, then tell me, how do I stop this? How do I not feel all of this energy? And she said, just turn it off. I said, excuse me? She said, just turn it off. Tell yourself you want to turn it off, and you will. You know, now there are times when someone is angry, and an empath will feel the anger throughout their whole body. The anger can fill them, you know, like the speed of a train carrying chaos on a track that is unstable. This
mm-hmm.
is why an empath might sometimes hold in their emotions until they just burst. And they are saying that there are some children, if a child starts screaming at the parent that is screaming, this is why. Because the child is feeding off the energy of the parent. So you think child is being rude. Parent is screaming.
Right.
Child starts screaming back. And it's like the child is feeding off of the energy, the vibration of the parent, you know, and empaths don't understand that feeling of anger, nor do they understand the feeling of fear. They are usually happy people. People may not think that I'm usually a happy person, but I'm really usually a happy person.
But
you know?
If the parent understands what we're trying to say today, they need to go back and they need to talk to their child and say, you know, if you feel the need to scream, how about taking that energy and going into the garage? And every time you have the feeling to scream, scream at the top of your lungs and then come back and talk to me. You know? But back in the day, children are supposed to. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, because I got something to say in defense of those children.
Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of parents don't understand that their child may be empathic. You know what I'm saying? Because back in the day, we do not scream at our parents.
But they're pulling off the screaming parents' energy.
Okay.
So
I know a parent
does
not like. Okay. I understand where you're coming from.
So I guess some of the social workers of the day would say, well, if the parent wasn't screaming, the child wouldn't have energy to pull off of. You know? I know what you're saying. You know, we were taught to do as we were told to do and not as the parent does. You know, so if a parent is screaming at you, you better not scream back.
Right. And nowadays,
you know?
Children are taught to express their emotions, not knowing, parents don't know that the child is empathic unless the parent is taught, you know. So now,
absolutely,
you know, children biting their fingernails and shaking their legs because they don't know how to express. They want to yell back. They want to tell their parent, don't talk to me like that. So if you want to scream, go off, scream, come back and say, Mom, now can I speak to you? Because you can see children nowadays biting all the way down to the nooks of their fingers, trying not to express how they feel.
Mm-hmm. And
but
so what happens is, right, but you, like you're saying, it can also be something that they're holding within,
mm-hmm,
holding deep within, you know, and then they explode, you know, inappropriately. Maybe
right.
In the wrong place, maybe in the wrong
right.
way. And nobody knows how this came about, but it says that empaths will hold on to stuff, sometimes hold in their emotions until they just burst. They bust. They can't hold it any longer.
And
so
that's why sometimes children, they come home and they have that drug to calm down, to relax, to get that feeling out. So that's why you and I are here, to teach spiritually how that empath needs to react.
Right. And meditation is very good for them, especially children who have been diagnosed with the ADHD. If these children can actually learn how to meditate, that will help them so much better than, you know, feeding them the drugs, you know, that would help
mm-hmm.
them so much better. And they, you know, because they're really happy. They're happy. If you see an ADHD child bouncing off the walls, they're not bouncing off, you know, a lot of them are bouncing off the walls, having a grand old time, getting on your nerves just everywhere but their energy influence and their energy influences optimism onto others when the others are in the right frame of mind. You
mm-hmm.
know, they are often very bright, independent. These are empaths, independent, imaginative, creative, and adventurous as children. Empaths are the people who you can't help but love. You love empaths. Empaths are generally very understanding of other people and their positions, and they will never pass judgment on someone without their own opinion from an encounter through experience. Now, basically, to explain that, because my words jumbled up in my mouth, but that means you can say you don't like a person for X, Y, and Z, and you know what? You don't like that person for that reason. I am going to give that person, you know, the benefit of the doubt, and I'm not going to prejudge that person until they do X, Y, and Z to me. Now, you may say, see, I told you so, but you know what? It's not going to affect me until they do it to me. So
right.
empaths usually don't prejudge people, you know. they will ask questions to gain their own perspective on someone or something. And when someone justifies something about someone, it means nothing to an empath. So your justification for what this person may have done or what you think this person is or who they are, it means nothing to the empath, because how someone views another person is only one side of the story. An empath would like to know the rest. They'd like to know why that person is that way, if that person is the way you say they are. And this is why most empaths are looked at as being fake or two-faced, as they have a liking for everyone. Mm-hmm. You say, people have said to me, well, I've had people at my job. Like, I said something about this gentleman one day. I was working with this guy, and I told him I was really glad that I was working with him and not the other person in the office, because I like working with this one better. So a couple of days later, when this, you know, I'm working with the guy that I said I prefer not to work with, I'm sitting there saying, oh, God, are you going to be gone for a whole week? Oh, I don't want to work on anybody else. You know, I want to work with you. And this girl just looks at me, this woman, and says, I thought you didn't like working with him. I wanted to smack her. Because I don't like working with him, but I like working with him better than who they may be giving me next. You understand what I'm saying? And after
yes.
working with him, he and I have such a rapport, because now I know his way, he knows my way, he has a fit if I'm going to be out. I have a fit if he's going to be on vacation, because I am in sync with the way he does things. So it has nothing to do with me being fake or two-faced it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from. That's the same thing that happens to me. I was told that this one woman in my neighborhood loves to talk about me. She talks about me. But when I am with her, she's very nice to me, whether she talks about me behind my back or not. When she's in my face, she's very nice to me. And I just know now not to tell her my personal business.
Absolutely.
And people, well, why are you with her? I thought you said that she talked about, well, she does talk about me. I just know now not to tell her my private business. But she has,
absolutely.
She has children. I have children. They play together, and that's it. You know, just don't tell your private business. And that's how I move
absolutely.
Through life, you know. It's your truth,
now,
her truth, and the truth. And that's how.
I hear you. Now the other thing that most people need to understand about empaths is that in empaths, we're very sensitive to violence and sadness. Now, I'm going to tell you. Empaths are sensitive to television, books, videos, movies, news, and broadcasts. I'm going to tell you, when 9/11 happened, I sat in front of my TV and I was bombarded by, you know, the towers coming down over and over and over again, people screaming over and over and over again, and I almost became a basket case because I needed to turn it off. And I became emotionally, I became the people in the street. It's almost as though I knew exactly the fear that they were feeling. I became the people in the airplane. I just became all those feelings. I became the terrorist, just like, you know, it's like I became, you know, affected by the emotions of whatever the heck it was. I was just pent up with all of these emotions, and I didn't think to turn them off. I was going to have a nervous breakdown without even realizing it, because as an empath, I was pulling all the juice of the world, the newscasters, the police officers. I was pulling all the juice around me, and I'm going to tell you, it's really, really, really a freaky thing. Now, violence, chaotic news, obscene behavior, emotional dramas, and depressing stories. Some of these stories depicting shocking scenes. I mean, I can't watch Maury Povich. I don't watch all of those shows where people are on there wanting to fight. You know, it's like in the Roman days, and it's like thumbs up or thumbs down, and the people are in the audience, and, yeah, kill them, kill them. I mean, I can't deal with those shows. I can't deal with the pain of the people who are embarrassed when he says, you are not the father. It's like, oh, my gosh. How could you get on TV and expose yourself like this to such pain? They may even be fake shows, but I don't feel like watching that stuff because of the emotions that I feel when people are caught up in that stuff. So, and empaths are like that. We turn off the news. We turn off those shows. We turn off, we just turn off. And I had to learn to do that I had to learn that I could not comfort the whole entire earth. I had to just go to Kmart and get me a pair of slippers to put on my feet, because I could only comfort my own. I can't carpet the whole world, but I can put some warm slippers on my feet. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So I understand.
Being an empath can be painful for an individual.
Because you wanna protect the whole nation. You wanna be there and mother the whole nation. And when you can't, that's when the pain comes. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way that you feel. There's a lot of people out there that may understand what you're going through, and they might wanna talk. And the best thing to do is you can call into our show at 347-324-3030 and just let us know, you know, just talk to us and let us know what you're going through. And when you call, press the number 1, and you can talk to Duchess and I, because I do have that same feeling that you do, Duchess. But when I can't, you know, when I can't protect, because even when I said that I was going to win the lottery, the first thing I wanted to do was share the money with others. And it's just like, wait a minute. God bless this money to me. So why don't I say, hey, the first thing I'm going to do is get my hair done. You know what I'm saying? But no, the first thing an empath wants to do is share everything, you know, to the world. And then forget about themselves, because they know that the world out there is hurting. But I understand where you're coming from, because
right.
It's hard work. It really is.
It is, and it can be very, very hard, very, very hard on your emotions if you are an undeveloped empath and you don't know how to turn that stuff off. Empaths can't tolerate injustice and usually speak on behalf of their perception of what is and what should be. Like, I remember when I was doing community service work, I used to say, the reason why I am doing this so well is because I am the people and the people are me. I feel what they feel, so I can be a representative for what it is they're going through, because I'm already going through it with them without me even actually going through it. I feel it, I know it, and so I can speak on it. And it's unconditional. You know, at times, an empath can even feel the emotions of a person that is located miles away. Now, this happens when an empath has contact with certain people, you know, and unconsciously it makes a connection with that person. Now, I'm going to tell you the biggest thing that ever happened to me as an empath with somebody miles away, and that's when my business partner was in Saudi Arabia. One day, I was, because my office was in my apartment, so everybody knew the whole makeup of my apartment. Even all the staff members, the board members, they all knew the makeup of my apartment because the office was in my apartment. They knew the makeup of the bedrooms, the kitchen, how the chairs were seated. And I remember I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep at night because it was as though I could feel when I was going to bed at night, it was daytime in Saudi Arabia. When we were going to bed at night, it was daytime. I mean, it was the month of June, and in the middle of the day here in America, it was nighttime there, and it was cold there, and I would be freezing. I would be freezing, so I was feeling this person that was miles and miles away on the other side of the earth. And I remember one time, it was like evidently she would think about, she would be thinking about what's going on here in our world, and I could feel her thinking. And at night I couldn't sleep because she would be thinking about home during the daytime. And I couldn't sleep at night. So what I did was, because everybody knew the whole makeup of my space, I got up one day and I just switched the whole room around. I switched the whole room around so that if there were any thoughts coming any at me, and they couldn't reach me because I switched the room around, I was sleeping in a different position. And I was able to sleep. It's really weird. I was able to sleep. And then a couple of weeks went by, and I couldn't sleep again. I said, well, what the heck is going on? Now, I know I'm going to switch the room around because you got to be careful. People, they zero in. They know the makeup of your space. They can just put their mind onto you in your space and just focus on you and just send you all kinds of vibrations. I believe that. And all of a sudden, I couldn't sleep again. What the heck is going on? Got a letter in the mail from Saudi Arabia. I had sent her some pictures of the children, and right smack dab in the middle of the bed was oldest grandbaby. She was not even quite a year old yet, smack dab in the middle of the bed, and in the letter it said, thank you for the pictures of Tiana, who changed the bedroom around. So I'm letting you know that it's a weird thing when you are connected to people and they can focus their energy on you from a distance. So now, I mean, quite a
bit. Okay, doctor. Okay, now we got to tell our listeners, if that is so powerful that you went through that, imagine the little people that are not developing paths. You know what I'm saying? That are now
absolutely
being jumping all over the place with ADHD, ADD, empathic, and they're being shut down because they're like, okay, you are so jumpy to me. Let me shut you down with the little medication, and now they're becoming little zombies, just staring at the TV, you know, just staring off into space, into Never Never Land. This
absolutely
is what we have to now, not train, but we have to give the message to people out there that, you know, your child needs to be taught how to control it, how to meditate, how to, you know, calm it down. And if they don't want to calm it down, let's let them go into the garage. Let's make the garage a safe haven where they can jump, scream, play basketball, do what they want to do, paint on the walls and do their chalk painting and stuff like that. And that's what you need to let them do, allow to express their feelings without hurting themselves. They need to get it
right
out.
And without being rude to the rest of the world, because that's the rest of the world going to think they're being rude.
Right.
You know? Because when an empath is undeveloped, they don't have the knowledge to understand the importance of distinguishing which emotions are theirs and which are absorbed from other people. Oftentimes, this will lead the empath to experience different and random levels of emotions and energy that they can't explain. And they might experience feelings of being drained, moody, depressed, angry for no reason, or unsure about life, and walking around feeling self-conscious. It's hard to understand the identity of an empath when they aren't even able to familiarize themselves with their own emotions. This is why it's important for an empath to develop their ability in order to master their gift. Empaths are born with a natural skill of observation. Okay,
right.
Accompanied with the ability to feel is the ability of observation. It becomes naturally to them to study the body language and the tones of voices of people. You know, I mean, this is often how they identify people. Their liking for one depends on one's choice of words, body movement, and or facial expressions. Watch little people, and you'll see. Watch their face. See if they're watching while you're talking, how they're looking at you. Are they looking at you, you know, reading your lips while they're talking to you? Are they watching your expressions and how these expressions are coming across to you so that they can see if what they're saying is annoying you or making you angry? Because empaths are born innovators. They're capable of making changes instantly. Because they're so in tune with you and the world around them to a certain degree that they're able to flip themselves whichever way they need to flip. Now, that's where it comes in. Are they codependent? Because they're able to change and flip according to the vibrations around them. A lot of you empaths are born writers and singers and musicians and artists of the world, and quite often exhibit a high degree of creativity and imagination. Here you go. I'm losing my voice again, Jules. I do a lot of talking.
Yes, you do. You do, and it's okay. You just say, Jules, I need some water, and I take over. I'll take over because this is one of my favorite subjects because I do know
how empaths work.
Okay, you go get some. You know, I do have somebody out there that may have an empathic child, and, you know, she can flip back and forth. You know, if she's around the little people, she can play with the little people, be hide-and-seeking with the little people, you know, and she's about 16, 17 years old. Well, not that old, but, I mean, she's 16 years old, but then when it's time to be with the older children, boom. She's flipped, you know, and that's the way she handles things because of her environment, and it's great, you know, it's great where they can fit themselves into little boxes, and deal with the norm of life, and that's their normal of life.
Right. Well, speaking of the norm of life, we have to also include that they are known for many talents as their interests are diverse and varied. They often have interests in many cultures. Now, that's a cultural thing. And religion, they love studying religion and view them with a broad-minded perspective. They love learning about different things and different people. Empaths are the sponges of the world. They are the psychic sponges of the world. They soak up all the psychic and emotional static that other people give off. So that's why they have to be very careful. And being an empath is one of the most common psychic abilities. But it is also the most challenging because most empaths go through, I'm sorry to say, a suicidal stage. Yes, we do. And this has nothing to do with right now, but I do remember when I was young, certain thoughts crossed my mind because you feel so daggone different from everybody else. You want to know, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Why do I feel all of this stuff? You know, who am I? What am I? Where am I going? What am I supposed to do? You feel all of this stuff. And you don't have anybody.
Why am
to
I
talk
alone?
To.
Don't forget that. Why am I alone and
yeah,
nobody understands?
Nobody like me on the face of this earth. Where's all the people that's like me? You know, you're going nuts. And sometimes I do go through those challenges right now, maybe not to that extreme, but when you're a child, when you're young, you know, look at all these young people, these beautiful, beautiful children that are being bullied because they're different. And they don't know that different is beautiful. You're special. You know? And it's a sad thing. And I'm different. And I have challenges now because I know I'm different, but I'm old enough now to say, well, you know, I'm different. I guess it's all right. I'm just different. So they go through this, you know. It's sad. Not understanding their ability causes them to become quiet and withdrawn from the outside world. You know, sometimes they become loners, depressed, neurotic, daydreamers, and even narcissistic. There's that word. There's that word. You know, just all wrapped up in themselves. When an empath is undeveloped, emotions will overtake their lives. This causes them to become depressed, where they lose touch with their feelings by not allowing themselves to feel anything. An empath going through depression is something that has an influence on the people around them. It can be felt by anyone in the empath's presence. Whoa. Yeah, I knew someone that was so morose. When everybody sat down at the kitchen table, it was like, my God, you could just feel like there was a cloud over the whole table. It's like, Lord, please go somewhere and be happy or something, because you're just bringing it here. Many suffer from self-medication, addictions such as drugs, alcohol, and often food. Empaths put the needs of others.
Why do you have to put emphasis on food? I mean, gee, I already know. Gee, I went through it 48 hours. It's okay. A little emphasis on food.
Drugs, alcohol, and often food. Because people don't feel like, you know, there's people out there that they just feel that addictions are drugs and alcohol. Come on. How many people look at food as an actual addiction? I mean, because we have to eat food. So it's like an addiction, food. But, yeah, food. Empaths put the needs of others before those of their own. And empaths are often very selfless. They put the needs of others first. And what happens is they neglect themselves. But this comes naturally to them, as they have a need to cater and nurture those among them or around them. I don't know. I'm still thinking about you and the food thing.
It's okay. I'm getting help. Thank you very much. Getting help.
That's so funny.
I'm glad you think
so. That's so funny. Being able to openly feel what is outside of them causes them to ignore what is inside of them. You know what? We empaths are great listeners, and that makes us some of the greatest people to talk with. I love listening to people talk. I'm going to tell you, because I can run my mouth too. And a lot of us are known as the mother hen of the family. You let everybody come and tell you all their problems. You know, they say, oh, we don't know the answer. You know, let's go talk to judges. You know, if she don't know the answer, she'll know where to find the answer. You know, the good old Duchess, along with being the psychologist amongst the family and amongst their peers. Although some empaths might be quite the opposite, they might even become angry and bitter because people come and are bothering them all the time. So let's talk about the two basic types of empaths. There's the emotional empath, and there's the cognitive empath. Now, Jules, you're online, and you say you're an empath, but I'm going to talk about the two types of empaths, and I'm going to talk about... All right, let's talk about these.
I'll tell you which one after you finish talking about it. You tell me which one you are, and I'll tell you which one I am.
Okay.
And we'll get some callers out there to tell us which one they are.
One they think
that?
They are.
Yes.
Okay, the first one that they have down here is the emotional. Emotional empath is an empath that has the ability to physically feel the emotions and energy of the other person, as though their emotions were contagious. This kind of empathy makes someone well-tuned to another person's inner emotional world. Then there is the cognitive empath. The cognitive empath is an empath that has a concern, a conscious need to imaginatively put oneself in the place of another. This is done to genuinely understand a person, which requires the consciousness to identify truth with one's immediate perception of long-standing thought or belief. That was a mouthful. So, kind of confusing, huh? The emotional empath is an empath that has the ability to physically feel the emotions and energy of the other person. And the cognitive empath is an empath that has a conscious need to imaginatively put oneself in the place of another. You know, I can imagine
what
it feels like.
Which one are you?
Well, I flip back and forth, but mostly if somebody is hungry, I can imagine being hungry. I can actually get the hunger pain. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, I'm there. I'm with you. I got you. I know you are hungry. Or, you know, somebody who has been robbed. Somebody just stole your purse. It's like, whoa, I already, in my mind, I'm there. I'm not just feeling it. I'm you. You know, I got to look for my driver's license, my this, my that, my so on and so forth. And it's almost, I'm there, you know. And, oh, Lord, if I had to do all of that, look for all my stuff and try to get all my stuff, I'm there. I'm you. So I can imagine putting myself in the place of another. Although when somebody is telling me the biggest lie ever told, I'm so consciously seeing, I am so there, I physically feel the emotion and energy of that other person that I just know you lying. You know why? Because it's impossible for X, Y, and Z, so on and so forth to happen that way because I can see the whole picture, the parts that you're not telling. Confusing, but yeah. Well, we can talk about the types of emotional empaths because, you know.
Well, I feel like I'm a cognitive empath. Why? Because not the fact that I – it's the fact that – and being a cognitive empath gets me in trouble all the time, because as soon as someone tells me their story, I'm ready to help. I'm ready to put myself into that danger just so they won't be alone. You know, I have no gas, but if you need a ride and I know that you've been spending your money, this and that, okay, I'll take you, knowing that that might do detriment to my health and everything, but I'm there to help you. You know, even if they don't say I need a ride, well, I've been working to work all day and it's been so lonely. Well, I'll give you a ride. You know, they don't even have to ask for a ride. I'm just jump right in it, you know? So it's like I feel their pain of walking 10 miles to work. And knowing I have nothing to give, I will give my last. And that's what kind of empath I am. So
well,
I can feel.
Taking your scenario, I would be the cognitive empath where I would see that they needed that help, and I would feel what I would do if it was me needing that help. But I see the bigger picture because I can see what could possibly happen with all the aspects of me giving you that help a particular way. So I haven't read how many different types of ways I can help you without me it affecting me at all. Okay, so.
See, I never see the bigger picture.
See, I see the whole big picture. Let me see. I'm gonna help you because, like, there was somebody that came to me and called me up and wanted to know if I would go, I think the term was thrifting, go to the thrift shop. and because they needed some glasses, and they needed some dishes, and they needed some plates, and they needed some this, that, and the other. And I wasn't about to go running around from thrift shop to thrift shop, but then the thought popped up in my head, you know what, it was a time when you needed dishes for your house, and then it popped up in my head, well, I don't really want to do that, and I know how it feels to need being an empty apartment with nothing, but hey, I got some stuff here. So I called the person and I said, how would you like to go thrifting in my apartment? And then before they even got here, I pulled out everything that I had that I would be willing to give to them and not miss, okay? So all they had to do was walk in my apartment, and there was a whole set of glasses that somebody had given me when I first moved into my apartment, but I had a brand new set of glasses in a box somewhere that somebody gave me 2 years ago that I never took out of the box because I had the ones that I was using. There were some plates that I get, you know what I mean? And I just took everything out that I wanted them to have, right down to the silverware where I kept little teeny forks because I have little grandchildren that come by here, and I didn't want all of my old forks to be gone. So I kept the little teeny ones because I like eating out of small forks. But that's what
and
I do.
You know,
I
my story about, you know my story about the eviction people. I felt their need, their sorrow, you know, and people helped me when I was going to get evicted. So why not help them? And then it turned into a nightmare. I don't see the whole picture. I just see the emotion of the heartbreak.
Right, but
so.
you got to see the whole picture because you know, sometimes helping people can get you in trouble. And I mean, devastation. Then there's this type of emotional empaths, okay? So we say that there are emotional empaths. So those are people who they have the ability to physically feel the emotions. Now, there are different types of ways that people feel emotions. So let's talk about the type of emotional empath, okay? So there are emotional empaths that they're called manifestive empaths. And these empaths have the ability to create their own reality and infuse the reality of others. Then there's the intuitive empath. They call it clear empathy. It's the ability to sense, feel the attitudes and emotions of others. Then they have the healing empath, the ability to take in the energy of others and transmute it. I like that, transmute. Transform it, you transmute it. So you take it in and you bring it to yourself and you change it ever so, you know, you transmute it. So it's no longer the same. It can be even stronger in a better way when you transmute energy. And there's the spiritual empath, the ability to sense the other person's oneness with their God. Then they have the types of cognitive empaths. Now, as far as the emotional empaths, I would say I'm the intuitive empath. That's the ability to sense, feel the attitudes, emotions of others. I'm an intuitive empath. And then it goes on to types of cognitive empaths. There's the precognitive empath, the ability to predict a certain outcome and see where paths lead. Now, I definitely do that a lot. Precognition. Because I'm looking at the bigger picture. And then there's the telepathic empath, the ability to have thoughts as well as feelings. And then there's the judgment empath, the ability to distinguish truth from lies and good from evil. And then there's the seer empath, the ability to see where the emotions are coming from along with the cause. So there are different types of empaths all over the face of this earth. And we can fall into any of those categories. They have rare types of empaths. They give a list of different types of empaths, molecular empath, the ability to blend their aura with the aura of other persons. Universal empath, and that's the ability to possess all of the empath traits. That's the psychic. They call it the psychic hybrid. So we have empaths, girly girl. girly girl. And that's it for the impasse. And I hope that we've given some light, shed some light into some of the folks' world out there on what it is to be, to have empathy as a foreign social worker. I still carry that with me all the time. Some of your best social workers, counselors, you know, they're empaths, and they really, really find, they can, their jobs can be more stressful to them because definitely feel with great pain when they cannot give a family food stamps because the household is $1 over income. What is that? $1 over income means that I can't give you food stamps to feed your family. That wrenches your heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you brought up something about the people that you said came, they needed the housing. A lot of times we don't realize that we get into great trouble when we help people because we're not conscious of our own selves, you know, the good old saying, being selfish, self-centered, and self-serving is, I think it's page 62 in the AA Big Book. It talks about being selfish or self-serving, self-centered. And in the Big Book it says, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity of our fellows, and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. Now, you have people on the face of this earth that have problems and they have issues and they have challenges and they're like thinking, you know, I did not bring this on myself. I did not cause this. I did not do this. But like it says, something that we did in our past, some decision we made in our past may have brought us to where we are. And if that decision that we made in our past had been ever slightly so different, we would not find ourselves in this predicament today. So can we use your housemates, your house guests as an example, Jewel?
Yes. Go ahead, Duchess. Thanks for asking. Go ahead. This is an example,
well,
people out there. This is an example. But, yes, go ahead.
Okay. You opened up your home to these people because you felt that they needed you. They needed you or they were going to be homeless. Now, when you opened up your home to these people, did you ever once thought of something you were going to get as a result of doing this for them? Were you going to get something out of it?
Hypothetically, okay?
Oh, hypothetically. Is that a yes or a no? Was there something for you to, you don't have to say what it was, but were you to gain something by doing it?
Yes.
Well, you were going to benefit.
Yes, I mean, they were getting evicted,
okay,
and I was getting evicted at
okay
one time, so I just wanted to help people. How
yeah, but
that?
Were you going to benefit by you helping them? Was there something
yes
in it for you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the question you have to ask yourself with all honesty, if that something in it for you was not there, would you have so readily opened up your home to them?
Now, definitely yes, I would. I would have, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well then,
continue. Yes, for somebody who wouldn't have, but I would have, for real, I would have.
Okay, well then you weren't acting on being selfish, self-serving, or self-centered.
Okay.
When you think about things, when you do something for somebody, if the major reason you're doing this for somebody is because you stand to gain, then you have to think a couple of times, why are you doing this? Is it for them? Or is it so you can gain what it is you want to gain out of the situation? You know, there is no way that I had a friend and I could have gone to a friend's house rather than sleep in my van, but I knew that on a regular, normal occasion, I wouldn't want to go to that friend's house and hang out there for a couple of days or a week or so on and so on. Why am I going to do it now that I'm homeless? I don't think so. I would be most miserable because the only reason why I would be doing it was because I needed something now. So when we're being selfish, self-serving, and self-centered, we have to be careful as to why we're doing what we're doing. Now, if what we're doing is for a godly reason or a divine reason, and, you know, we're doing this out of love and we don't stand to gain, you know, a whole bunch out of it from the individual, then I feel like it's a cool thing to do. But and we're going to get whatever it is, we're going to get. Not from them, but from a higher source. So don't go around just, you know, giving of yourself just because if you give of yourself, you stand to gain something. It don't work that way. You can find yourself in a world of trouble. So think twice before you open up your life to something because if I do this, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money. That's how those con artists, I got conned one time when I was young in New York. And that's how they get you. Because you stand to make a lot more. And because they'll come up to you and they'll say something like, I'm looking for this address, and you know where I can find this address, and you don't know that these two people are working together. And then the guy started talking to me, and he started saying that he's from a different country, and in this country people trust each other, you know, like, you know, I'm going to trust you. Do you watch? I'm like, oh, here's a guy over here, strange guy on the street. You don't know that they're partners. Oh, here's a guy on the street. I'm going to let you and this guy walk around the corner with my wad of money around the corner, around the block. I'm going to trust you with my money, you know, to prove to you that in my country we trust people, you know. And here's me walking around the block with this stranger with this wad of money, and we get back. And then he says, oh, now, let's see, do you trust me to walk around the corner with him with some money from you? Oh, sure, I trust you. And the stranger's his partner. They never come back with my money. Okay?
How old were you?
I don't know. Young and dumb, growing up in Harlem. Come on. And nobody in Harlem, you know, is like, come on. That's the oldest con in the world. But that, you know what? And don't laugh at me. Because
okay,
I know somebody that was working for some company that was supposed to be sending them checks. And if it wasn't for somebody telling them, don't deposit that in your account and think you're going to send these people some money.
Oh, Dutch, is that
you remember?
Not even nice.
You remember that?
How you going to tell me on the bus like that just because I laughed at you? Okay. You want to know another one then? What happened?
Yeah.
What happened to that time? Let's go to Walmart. Let's go to Sears. Let's go to Kmart and buy all these DVDs because they're not going to be. Do you remember that? Let's buy all these DVDs.
Yeah. But that's okay. That's not a con.
No,
that's not the same thing. That's not the same. How many you got? I'll buy
one. Whatever. Michael Jackson is gone, and let's get all the whiz and. and they were stocked up the next day, just like normal. We was going to that was gonna be a rich scheme, boy. We was going to be rich. Mom,
right.
I still got the whiz upstairs in my attic right now. About 20
How
CDs,
many?
Man.
They're DVDs. And I think I got the other 20 here in my house.
Wow.
Because we split them down the middle. But, yeah, life is good. But we need to realize that we need to love ourselves first, number one. And if we're going to give ourselves to other people, we have to make sure that we're not giving or we're not helping other people, number one, because we have an ulterior motive of what we're going to get out of these other people if we help them. You don't help people just because you won't get from them. You know,
right.
It should be unconditional helping. You know, and
oh, Duchess, pull a card. Let's pull a card. You ready?
We will pull a card. No,
okay.
Not yet. Not yet. You trying to get rid of me? Is that what you're trying to do?
Never. Never.
I think you're trying to get rid of me.
No.
I think you're trying to get rid of me.
I just
want to
spend some time on Nevaeh.
Okay. Oh, you want to get her back on the line? Is she still? Is her mic still hot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is she coming back on? No,
I don't think she's
coming back on. She's busy.
Okay.
No, she's not in studio. She's busy. One of the things that people that I want to share with people is that self-centeredness. You know, a lot of times, when people say that you are self-centered, they put that in a negative light. But if you want to flip that around into a positive light, you can say that I am not self-centered, but I happen to profess a centered self. And when you are centered in yourself and in your well-being, I mean, that means a totally different thing from being self-centered. So we can flip that self-centeredness around. And you get, you become centered, a centered self when you do your meditation. You communicate with your higher self, your higher power on a regular basis. And then you know that you are who you are and you are a blessed, divine human being. And with that, I will pick a card because it's almost time for us to close. So, Jules Heart. Go for it. Tell the people what they need to do so we can see what the energy says.
Okay. I need you to close your eyes and you need to focus on self. You need to put all your energy in the card that you want, Duchess, to pull. Okay, Duchess, go ahead and pull that card.
Okay, this card is for everyone, whether you're listening now, live on the air, or you listen next year, and when you hear this card, this is for you. Here's your card, everybody. Okay, what have we here? Oh, we have contrary, ant. Ant is patience. Let's see what contrary ant. That means that ant was pulled in the upside down position. And ant contrary says, watch out. Here comes the sting. If you are in a hurry, you may fall prey to those who are not working for the good of the whole of humanity. Those individuals who make greed a way of life prey on the fear and urgency of those who have forgotten natural and tribal law. It's easy money. If this warning applies to you, become aware of users and con artists. Come on.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Wow.
In the contrary position, it also teaches you to trust the natural law. If you do, harmony always follows. Your silly impatience will bring coyote to aid you in sabotaging your plans for the future. If you allow your panic to outweigh your rational sensibilities. The key here is to honor the will of the Great Spirit so that mountains are not made out of anthills. Unbelievable. Well, I guess it's believable. We have to believe it because that's the way the energy flows. You know?
Okay.
That's the way the energy flows. I find that the cards that are pulled or read at the end of the show usually complement the show itself. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So before we close, I want to do our little disclaimer because we talked a lot about ADHD and addiction and drugs and medication, and we need to let everyone know that the information we share here will never be offered as medical advice and should not be considered medical advice or treatment, nor religious doctrine, and is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified healthcare professional regarding any mental or physical health condition or treatment. I want to give a shout out to my son. Tell him happy birthday. Hope he had a wonderful weekend for his birthday. Let him know I'm very proud of him. He's doing great things, you know, with his future and with his job, and he's come a long way. And we all are very, very, very proud of him and the successes he has garnered through the last few years. Okay, anything you want to say, Ms. Jules, before we go off the air?
Nope. I'm just really proud that people out there are listening to us, and I'm proud that we are on the air, and Aunt told the truth, didn't it? Everybody needs to be patient. Just be patient. It's coming for you. Just be patient.
It is, and this is November. We've come out of that reset for October, and things will get better. The new year is on its way, and I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of stuff going on out there, honey, a lot, and I'm looking forward to it all because it's all going to be good. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that,
Grandma, if you're listening, I love you, and I've been trying to get in touch with you. I love you, Grandma.
Grandma's listening. I see an area code 212 sitting up there.
Well,
so your grandma is listening to you.
Okay. I just want to let her know I love her.
Okay. I love her, too. You take it easy and you stay blessed. And that's it for the night, everyone. The next show that we'll be having will be the 17th of November, and that'll be our Thanksgiving show. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We hope we have a lot of listeners calling in, planning on doing for their Thanksgiving. Okay, stay blessed, everyone. This is Duchess signing out.
This is Jules. Peace. Thank you.